Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. I am your host, Nathan Spearing, coming to you today, jacked from my county before country experience of the last weekend. Those of you who are not familiar with it, Michael Foster, the author of It's Good to Be a Man, a book that has triggered a lot of feminists lately, but also encouraged a lot of young men, old men, myself included, to embrace the role that has been given them by God and to go out and get on mission, to find their mission, fulfill their mission before getting a girl, to make the mission primary and invite a woman into it, not make the girl the mission, which I think can be a lot of our young men's issues today. And I actually am working on a 2022 dating guide episode that should be coming out here in a few weeks. So stay tuned for that. On the way to the conference, I took my two boys with me. We did Warriors Tent and Garden Booth. Those of you that follow me on Instagram are aware of it. On the way, I listened to a YouTube clip with Bishop Barron Presents Shia LaBeouf. And it was phenomenal, guys. It's a little over an hour discussion between this Catholic bishop and Shia, who was preparing to play the role of Padre Pia, and in a really tumultuous time in his life. And guys, I kind of am of the impression after watching that YouTube video and listening to the conversation that Shia's had a gospel encounter and, is giving every indication of real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and kind of how it has broken his idolatry. And he's talking about reading Chesterton and confessions and all these different things and just amazing discussion. But one of the things that he talked about in this episode was a Heraclitus quote that I had forgotten about. And brought it back into my forefront. And the quote is this: out of every 100 men, 10 shouldn't even be there. 80 are just targets. 9 are the real fighters, and we're lucky to have them, for they make the battle. Ah, but the one is a warrior, and he will bring the others back. And I think it's easy to read that first and foremost, and immediately view yourself as the one or one of the nine. But one of the things that John Moody, who was a keynote speaker of the County Before Country event and was basically spitting hot fire the entire time, and we got an episode with them coming up here shortly, so stay tuned. So make sure you're subscribed to the Life on Target podcast so you don't miss that. But he was talking about how when we watch Lord of the Rings, he was asking the audience, who do you see yourself as? He's like, yeah, everybody, wants to see themselves as, Aragorn or Gimli or Faramir or one of these glorious characters that obviously in the Lord of the Rings were the nine and helping the one. But he said, likely most of y'all are Sams. Most of y'all should only hope to be faithful friends. And I would argue that Sam is one of the nine for sure. Maybe on ability to be dangerous and capacity for violence, physical violence and skill with the blade and great warrior, no, but contributed greatly in some other spheres of what it is to be a man. We've talked about it before, being cultivating the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. And so today, what I'm kind of wanting to encourage you in this episode to do is, first and foremost, stop worrying about the 90 guys of the 100, the 10 that shouldn't be there, and the 80 targets. Stop being surprised that they are choking down all this woke theology. Stop being surprised that they're lecturing you on how to apply Romans and submitting to authority. Stop worrying about the fact that they are sending their kids to public school for the most part. Obviously, there is a huge part about dominion, taking dominion in a thousand-year plan is evangelism, is taking the truth to the lost, etc. But as you build your productive household, as you seek to build the church, as you seek to establish a thousand-year vision for your family, put together by hundred-year plans, put together by five-year plans and one-year plan, and planning out your week appropriately, just stop wasting your energy on the 90. Find the other nine guys, the other fighters that make the battle, join with them and do battle with them. And stop tailoring your message or the way that you live your life to not offend the 90. That's not meaning that you're setting a strategy to trigger the 90 and to attack. Because I think a lot of social media strategies can be that. It's like, yeah, I'm going to get on there. I'm going to trigger these 90 guys. I think that your strategy should be, how can you live your life, first of all, to make sure you're in those 10 that are fighters that make the battle, that bring the others back. And that comes with individual discipline, like we've talked about, dominion over your family. And you can't be the fighter that goes out and does battle without those essential building blocks in your life. You have to have dominion over yourself, body, soul, and spirit. You have to be leading in your household. You have to be loving your wife. You have to come home from work if you're in a traditional post-industrial revolution job, working for a corporate master. If you're a wage slave at this point, you're still working on your productive household. You got to have energy to show up and to take your children and play with them, and to have energy to continue to help your wife and to do some things that around the house, to repair some things, to make things run better. And you do that by working out. And I had the opportunity to speak at County Before Country. I had was given a quick chance. Michael Foster let me jump up there. And I had been thinking about it a little bit, but then also just kind of really narrowed it down in the moments before that I went up there. I just said, I'm not going to, there's 500 guys in this room, it's 500 people-ish. I'm not going to say something here now to try to appeal to 500. I'm going to try to say something that, based on the 9-1 principle, looking at 45 to 50 guys in this room that I want to speak to. And so I brought it pretty hard. I said, hey, you know, you guys all are at this conference, and I think looking around, looking at your physical state, the thing that you really need to do when you get home from this conference is you need to not drink on Sunday night so that you can get some good sleep. You need to set your alarm clock for 5 a.m. and you need to not hit snooze when it goes off, and you need to get up and you need to work out. And I spoke right after Doug Wilson, and he said in his talk literally right before I got up there that Abraham Kuyper had said that there is not one inch of the world that God does not look at and say, that's mine. And I said, I'm judging by a lot of you that you think that that means you need to add inches to your waist, and that's not the case. You don't have to create a bigger body for God to have dominion over. You need to work on getting your waist small, and you need to take back the physical self, your physical self, as a means to having dominion and doing things locally. And that was the focus of the conference, Christian localism, focusing where you are. Men, if you've been with me this far, you know that starts with you. And I had several mothers talk to me about it. They, what do we do with our boys? We got, you know, some of them were, you know, physically fit boys. Some of them were still younger and still kind of they're homeschooling and trying to make a way. What should we do? And I think this is advice for young men, and this is advice for old men alike. Where is it that you are kind of trying to hide behind a facade that you want to put up, or this projecting this identity? What aspect, body, soul, or spirit, do you hide away? And do you know when your head hits the pillow on your bed at night, you know, and you're insecure about it? and you are unsure, and you know, because you can't lie to yourself, man. You can't BS yourself. You know the truth. You know whether or not when you lived the day for the Lord, for his glory, you had dominion over yourself, you served others, your sleep is sweet. The Lord gives it to you because you gave it all for that period, and now it's time to rest, to do it again. And John Moody talked about how a lot of us think building Christendom and fighting the battle equals jumping on Facebook and settling, you know, thousands of years of doctrinal disputes with our minuscule knowledge, our 3-year seminary degree, our personal Bible reading plan, and you're going to jump on and eclipse church history with these insights. And he's like, no. What you actually need to do is play chutes and ladders again with your kids, or you got to read, you know, give a mouse a cookie or whatever the book he said again. These little things, because if we're being honest, you know, and I, you know, my typical thing is to focus on the physical. I've already kind of hit y'all a little bit with the physical, but we got to think about the spiritual battle that is raging, and had this conversation with dozens of people. This is an asymmetric warfare. This is 24/7, 365 warfare that is being raged and raging and waged against your children, against your wives, against your family, your community. When you start to build things for God, when you start to erect a wall, like is in Nehemiah and John Moody talked about in his talk, if you start to erect the wall and build it in front of you, it's no good if you're not willing to stand on that wall and defend it. If you don't have the means, and you guys know, I am all about having the capacity for violence. You can't be meek and not also be dangerous, because meekness is capacity under restraint. It's having a sword, knowing how to use it, deciding to leave it sheathed, and being willing also, though, to say, this is the wall, we're building it. If you try to come and disrupt what we're doing, we got the means, and we have the will, and we have the worldview to defend this. So I want you to take the spiritual aspect into mind when you think about this Heraclitus quote, when you think about the 9 and the 1. How are you, of 100 families, is your family a top 10% family? Is your family thriving over the 90%? And this, you know, obviously it's a sin to compare others. And I've said this in conversation this weekend as well. We touched on this, the standard, we're not grading on a curve based on the other men around and saying, okay, I'm good. I get to quit what I'm doing. Cause I got productive property. You know, I'm paying my monthly expenses, and I read my Bible a little bit, and you know, my kids generally like me, and you know, my wife's good. We get, you know, we got a halfway decent sex life, and I'm faithful to her, and I'm not, you know, looking at pornography, and I, you know, check. I got, you know, the boxes, the little list of what you think is righteousness to you. You could put some checks in those boxes. How is the spiritual war raging? And, you know, Doug has said he knows when he writes a blog or does a podcast or a talk and it's just crickets, that he's not on target. Just like in the World War II bomber runs, when they got over target, there's flak. There's stuff firing. So if you're not taking heat, you're not taking heat from the enemy, you're not taking flak. And now I'm not saying that this is Twitter comments or Facebook comments, like we talked about a little bit earlier. It is about whether or not you are actually a threat. Because if you're not a threat, if you're one of the targets, if you're one of the 10 that shouldn't be there, you're not going to be taking rounds. You're not going to be, you know, in the fight. And that is where I'd say more than 90% of America is sitting. Why do we need a persecution? Why do we need this great, you know, martyrs being, you know, burned in the streets, and this persecution of the faith when the church is asleep? If there's persecution, the church is going to grow. So why not just leave American church fat, dumb, and happy? And what that actually means is the men of America are fat, dumb, and happy. So think about this. Are you reading the Bible every day to your kids? Are you praying with your wife? Are you praying with your kids? Are they excited when you come home from work? Are you seeking how to build a productive household so that you can be with your children more, so that you can expand your border, so that you have margin to cross-train in things, that you're able to go to conferences and spend time being renewed, to come back with energy, king energy, to have dominion in your everyday life, not thinking, oh, I can't wait till the next conference, but thinking, I have things to do where I am, and you're anxious to get back to where you are and to do the things the Lord has given you. Be one of the 10. Make the battle. I can tell you from being in battle and from coming back from a good firefight skirmish where we thought they almost got the drop on us, but they didn't. We succeeded. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome to have victory, but you don't get to have that victory experience without laying it out there on the line, without doing the work, without preparing, and without seeking the fight. And take your kids out of the fight, man. Don't send them to public school. Don't talk about how they're going to be an evangelist at the public school when literally the forces of darkness are reigning in government school and they're out there flapping. You think your sixth grader or your fourth grader or your ninth grader or whatever is equipped for war? The Spartans didn't take the 300 that defended the gates at Thermopylae. We're not boys. Those were men. They were hardened. And the hardening of the men and the training of the men was achieved under the watchful eye of the village, under the watchful eye of the father. So train your sons, train your daughters to fight, protect them, let them get into skirmishes, let them do it, but only when you see that it is not going to be catastrophic. It is not going to be fatal for their spiritual life, their physical life, their spiritual life. Like, just rule over that, have dominion, train them up, and be encouraged. This is not a thing that gets finished. I'm not coming to you saying that I nail every one of these things I've brought to you every day. There is grace there for that. But just like that tension between faith and works. You can't have faith without works. You can't have works without faith, truly offering it up to the Lord and trusting He's knitting it together. Go forth, conquer. You're one of the guys that's sitting there thinking, oh man, I think I'm just a target right now. I think I've given you some stuff to do. Shoot me a message. Tell me some of the things that you're going to do. That was helpful. Maybe I can help you out with a couple ideas. And let's build the wall where we are, and let's defend it. Have a good one.